The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all." This is the Gospel. You may be seated. Dear friends, priorities guide our lives, or ought to guide our lives. Priorities determine what is important and what is not. The hymn that you just sang is a beautiful poem. It contains a dialogue of those Christians that went ahead of us, those that were martyred, those that had their priorities straight, those that put more emphasis on eternal life than on the earthly life. It is a cute little dialogue. They say, "Your timid footsteps lengthen, throw off sin's weight, your halting weakness strengthen. We kept the faith, we shed our blood, were martyred, our faith we bartered." So, they bartered their faith for new Christian churches throughout the world, because historians say that for every drop of blood of a martyr, a new Christian church was born. So they want us to lean in and get a cardio out of our walk, a cardio exercise out of our walk through life. Your timid footsteps lengthen. And so we do. These Christians are described in detail in Hebrews 11 and 12. 12:1 says like this, "Therefore," pointing back to chapter 11, "since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us focus on the race marked out for us and shed the sin that so easily entangles." We are competing in the stadium, and they are sitting on the bleachers, or standing in the bleachers and cheering us on to greater accomplishments. And so we welcome greater challenges in the work of the Christian church. We make sure that our priorities are straight and not like the disciples. While Christ is talking about his death and resurrection, they are talking about who is the greatest. They are trying to elbow their way to the front of the line. Totally senseless. When it comes to comparing the two, eternal life and earthly life, go for eternal life. That one is permanent. What happens here in this world is relatively irrelevant as long as it does not compete or does not affect our spiritual life. Spiritual life is what is important. People sometimes come to me for advice in the midst of a tough situation, of a trying reality in their lives. And my advice is, get your priorities straight. I don't say it that way. I say in a politically incorrect nowadays way, get your ducks in a row. Because when the ducks are standing still in a row, you can shoot one after the other. When they are running around like crazy, you don't know which one to aim for. And it works. And I think that God blesses us when we are in touch with ourselves. We need to spend time meditating. Meditation brings us in touch with God. When we meditate upon what we read in His Word. And then it brings us in touch with ourselves. The Word of God is not something that is restricted to services or through devotion or prayer time at home. The Word of God addresses and is useful in every minute throughout the day. What I read here has application to me. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And when I am in trouble, do I know what those words mean? Yeah. Though the earth give way, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Three biggies in our life, the earth produces our food and gives us water. The earth determines whether we are going to die or live. And yet we will not fear though the earth gives way. And the mountains, majestic, huge mountains, pick themselves up and throw themselves into the heart of the sea. The sea is always mysterious, always evil. The sea, in biblical imagery, is always death and condemnation. When you fall into the sea, you are gone. And then God comes and says, what, the earth, the mountain, the sea? I made these things for you. Don't be afraid. That's the power, the majesty, the love that our God has for us. So we need to be in touch with ourselves and with Christ by reading His Word. Christians read, they ponder, they think about it, they meditate on it, and then they apply God's Word to their lives for their own comfort on board this life. The Holy Spirit is our guide. He was given to us at baptism. Jesus told the disciples to remain in Jerusalem until they received the gift from that the Father would send them, the Holy Spirit. He called them the teacher. Well, the Holy Spirit teaches us. The Holy Spirit walks with us. On another occasion, Jesus called them the paraclete. Para means next to. A paramedic works with doctors, and a paralegal works with legals, with lawyers, and a paraclete is somebody that walks next to me. I always remember this expression from Greek, parakletos, when I see football players get hurt on the field, and then two of their amigos come and put their necks under their armpits and carry that person out, and they go and hobble, but they are enabled to leave the field because somebody is helping. Somebody is parakletos with them, walking next to them. So the Holy Spirit enables you and me to walk when otherwise we would be desperate, we would be tired, we would just be powerless. He is the one that enables me to walk. The disciples' priorities after even the resurrection of Jesus, their priority was to save their precious earthly lives. So they did not want to be attacked by the Jews. They hid themselves behind a locked door. They thought they killed Jesus. Next, they will come after us. But then the Holy Spirit came. And then, from then on, they threw caution to the wind. Now they could care less about their earthly lives. Peter rubbed it in when he said, this Jesus whom you killed, God raised back to life. And He is the Lord. And it is in His name that we can do these things like helping a person that was paralytic. That's the power that comes to us when our priorities are straight. The Holy Spirit guides us as He guided the disciples for the asking. We praise God for the teacher that came to enable us to do these noble things, to spread the gospel throughout the four winds, to tell others about Jesus. That is our priority. That is the reason why we are a congregation. The task of the congregation is one, to proclaim the gospel. And so we do, ever aiming for greater heights and deeper distances, that there is not a single person born of woman that has not heard about the name of Jesus. and until that day we will not rest. Humility and meekness are rare traits today, as it was in the company of the disciples. Today we hear people telling us how great they are, how fantastic they are. There is no humility. There is no meekness at work or visible in most people nowadays. But when we show that Christ was the servant of all and we imitate his example, we too become humble and meek and sweet as we proclaim the gospel, as we live our faith from day to day. Christ himself came not to do his own will, but the will of his Father. So we set aside our own will at times and do the bidding of our Father in heaven, to his glory and to the salvation of many. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.